Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults, by adults, containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
There we go. My track, so I don't have to listen to my dumb voice. Alright, so let's see, that was about an hour to get up and running.
I guess so.
Because I had one thing selected incorrectly. Oh boy. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Full of Sound and Fury podcast. It was laboriously set up by myself. I'm Cyrus Mordazavi. I make podcasts badly. I also write, I draw. You can find everything at fanbasecomics.com. With me tonight, with great forbearance and probably a little bit of anger,
Rodriguez. I'm not so angry, but hello. It happens. Things take a while to set up. There was one time I recorded a podcast and I had everything set up and we did a whole thing, like 30, 45 minutes. And then I realized I'd never plugged the mic in. So my laptop recorded the whole episode on its shitty, like, internal microphone. It was terrible. It was three people. That was the worst, one of my worst podcasting days ever.
Most of mine are the worst podcasting days ever for me. I'm like Kevin from Office Space. At least when it comes to podcasts. Okay. Well, embarrassment over. Anything you want to talk about?
What happened since last we gathered?
Oh, God.
We talked about all those Marvel movie announcements, so that's a foregone discussion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the mid-season winter finales for Arrow and The Flash and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. happened.
Oh, yeah.
On the comic book / entertainment side.
Yes. Yeah, so, they totally happened.
Oh, yeah. They happened with a vengeance.
Yep.
I would say.
Embarrassingly enough, I cannot remember if we discussed this on air or not.
The finales?
Yeah.
We definitely didn't. I'm pretty sure we just talked about it at Magnolia Cafe.
Oh, that's right.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So those were phenomenal. I think, I know you don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but even that one, I think, is really starting to impact the overall cinematic universe for Marvel. Which is great.
We have Inhumans now, right?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't say it, but they had a Terrigen crystal in front of them, and then a gas happened, and then they got superpowers. So it's Inhumans. Just the royal family didn't show up.
Yeah. I mean, that's an unusual reaction to gas, I would say.
Yeah. They grow that's into
how that goes.
A cocoon forms around them, and then they turn into something else. Yeah. And, I mean, in the show, the character Sky, hopefully it's not too much of a spoiler for you, Cyrus, but her dad, his name is Cal, and then he reveals that her real name is not Sky, it's Daisy. So that basically lines up exactly with Daisy Johnson in the comics, Brian Michael Bendis' character.
My first question was going to be, who is Sky?
Yeah, so anyway. You know, if you start watching it, that'll kind of give you a preview. But
yeah.
we basically have Quake now in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And as the end of the episode sort of portrayed, she has her powers now and she's an Inhuman. So exciting things to come, I think.
Okay, so that's the way they're going to go with the power distribution, as it were.
Yeah, I think that's their workaround for No Mutants because of Fox. So...
Yeah.
I think Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver will be in humans as well.
I'm so glad you brought them up because I had a horrifying revelation earlier today.
What?
While I was busy fucking this podcast up. So, in Age of Ultron, the forthcoming Age of Ultron, those characters are played by one of the Olsons.
Yeah, Elizabeth Olsen and Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yes.
Who played husband and wife in Godzilla earlier this year.
That's weird. Or was it foreshadowing?
Well,
that's
I mean,
my question to you.
I don't know. I can make the difference between the two movies in completely different universes in my mind. Yeah. So I don't know what to say. I mean, I think I can handle it.
But I'm wondering if that's almost on purpose. I mean, that is the Quicksilver Scarlet Witch thing. They have an unhealthy relationship there.
Yeah, I'm not sure Joss Whedon will go that route, but
yeah, no, God, I'm not.
I have my doubts. I think I was reading an interview with someone had with Joss Whedon. I forget what website, and you know, he was sort of explaining that it was difficult to, you know, you have this like these interactions and these relationships between the characters from the first Avengers film, and now you have these new characters that you're introducing, and he said it's, you know, it's a challenge trying to weave them, excuse me, all together. And I think my guess is that, you know, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver and their storyline will start kind of independently and then sort of crash into the other Avengers over time. And so we'll get to know them, you know, as their own thing and kind of get used to that. And then they'll be introduced to everybody else. So I don't know. I don't know what that'll spell exactly for how they're portrayed, but it's interesting. And,
yeah, if they choose to not touch on that, I'm perfectly okay with that.
Yeah, I can't imagine a situation where that would be the case, because that would kind of really ruin the whole introduction of them if they with that somehow. You know, it's just like it'd be really weird
if we cut to them and they're awkwardly putting their clothes back on in the same room.
Yeah, it's like what?
Not the best. I don't know. I guess it's just kind of an odd coincidence, but
yeah,
it creeped me out just a little. Well, I'd like to take a moment to welcome Rajon Rondo to the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, okay.
Very excited about that.
Right on.
I think the Mavs probably overpaid for him a bit, but I can't fault the logic given that they're kind of in a win-now mode with I think it'd be kinder for them as a veteran roster. It's always the nice way of saying you're a bunch of old guys.
Yeah.
But they are a bunch of old guys. So
you can use the time-honored legacy label if you want.
I think that's for really old guys, right?
I don't know. Hall of Fame is really when you're really starting to lay on the years, I would say, but I don't know.
Well, we're not referring to them as antediluvian yet. I feel like that's the breaking point.
Okay, yeah. I'm trying to think of an even older one. I don't know.
Before the flood's pretty old. I don't know.
Yeah.
Paleolithic? I don't know. Precambrian.
Precambrian?
I'm trying to think if there's any team that like would deserve like one of those horrible monikers we just came up with.
I don't think so. I mean,
so damn old.
I mean, everyone rags on the Spurs, but I mean,
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. But antediluvian would be. Can you imagine a reporter going to their head coach and being Popovich and being like, "So how do you feel about the antediluvian crew that you've got running?" Like, he's already like so unhappy to talk to any reporter. I just can't imagine the look on his face.
Well, if that ever happens, I want the coach that I want to fill that question is Greg Popovich. There's no question. I'm fine. We're on to Miami.
Flood's coming. It doesn't matter.
Call a check. Yeah. Listen, we can swim.
It's just
we totally got this.
We got it. Then he just walks away. Hey,
congratulations on the Heat not sucking.
Yeah, I mean, although tonight, I think the Wizards beat them. But
well, the Wizards are good.
Yeah.
I mean, Dallas lost to the Golden State Warriors last week. I mean,
yeah, what are you going to do? Their record's not so great right now. They're like 50-50, but they're making it work. I'm glad to see Dwayne Wade waking up and Chris Bosh is really coming into his own. So,
I'm glad about that because I kind of called that. I had a feeling Bosh was going to be able to be just fine at moving into the first banana roll, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, it's working out pretty well. I'm happy about that. I'm glad we're competitive, although it's still the Eastern Conference. So
yeah, I mean, clearly that helps. I mean, there's a dearth of competition, but they're still a playoff team.
Yeah, I still, you know, I think I said this in an earlier episode. Like, I would really like to see the talent more evenly distributed between the Eastern and Western Conference. I think that makes basketball better for everybody.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah.
And, you know, the fans in particular, of course.
They're going to have to do something at some pretty soon. It's getting ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, something's got to give. I mean, I think, you know, I don't know what it'll be, and it'll probably piss off some people, but it's got to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's oof.
Yeah.
I mean, remind me, is Toronto the first seed in the East right now?
Oh, God, I don't know. Now you're making me look up something very depressing.
No, you don't have to look it up. Don't worry about that. But the reason I bring it up is I think they're one of the high seeds for sure, and I watched them play the other night against Brooklyn, who was terrible. They did not impress me even a little bit. Not even a little bit. And I think they are the first seed.
They are the number one team in the East right now.
Oh, sweet Jesus. 21-6.
And sadly, the Wizards are right behind them. So,
well, the Wizards have some talent.
Yeah.
I don't know if they should be a second seed, for God's sakes, but...
Man, the Heat actually have a losing record right now, so that's not fun.
In the fourth seed?
No, they're pretty far down. They're 12-15.
Oh, are they really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, although, you know, no one, just like last year, no one can beat the Philadelphia 76ers at 2-23. That is... its own special type of situation.
Well, that's emphasis on special as an education, I think. But they're racking up good players.
The Sixers? Must, because they're
Noel,
losing they, records got to be paying dividends somewhere in terms of draft picks and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean it's going to be brutal, but I could see that's a team I could see being really good in 3 years if they hit on a couple of these guys.
Yeah,
so I can't really fault the strategy. It's just ugly to watch.
I mean, it's a similar strategy to the Cavs, and I mean, it's built into the system. I mean, eventually you're going to get the talent you need, and if you're making good draft picks, and hopefully you'll work yourself out of the hole. But man, they are bad. They were bad last year, and they're bad again so far this year. And the Knicks are also suitably bad at 5-23.
That's actually sadder.
Yeah.
Mello
that
wasn't
had all
by
this
design.
Opportunity to like work his free agency, and now look what you got.
Yeah. What was they calling around? Good luck with that.
There was something about like the I forget that it's not related to the Knicks, but the Nets instead, and their like owner had some sort of like clever phrase for Jason Kidd because you know Jason Kidd left to go coach the Bucks. And he had some like thing about let the door hit you on the ass on the way out, like that he said in his like in some sort of public press conference or something. It was kind of weird.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me he said it in like Russian and it sounded super awesome.
No, he said it with a Russian accent, of course, but no, it was in English. It was strange.
See, now I have a total different headcanon. I've totally gone John Wick with this conversation. He's like, kill this motherfucker. Yeah. Wow. I don't know. Why do you flee New York to go to Milwaukee? Has anyone done that ever in any scenario?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody, like, I don't think the Nets organization appreciated Kidd's efforts last year. And I think he bailed because he didn't feel like he was being treated well, is my understanding of the situation, but I don't really follow it too closely. But
teams that don't matter.
Yeah, but when you're going to bail from Brooklyn and their huge like payroll and everything to go coach at Milwaukee, you know something's up.
Yeah. Yeah, Brooklyn also not good at basketball. Yeah, that was a tough game to watch.
Yeah.
That was not good. But I don't know. Okay, so it did occur to me this is probably going to be our last show here of the year.
Yeah.
Run down the clock on December. I used to do an article right around the end of the year over at Fanbase, and this year I'll probably put it on my Tumblr, but where I just kind of go back over the highs and lows of the year.
Uh-huh.
Actually, just the highs, not the lows. We can talk lows, though. And I think that would be as good of a format for anything as
okay.
In and out here. So the quote unquote this fake award I have completely. First one is Man of the Year.
Man of the Year, Jesus.
Man of the Year. Now,
Steve Rogers, Captain America.
That's okay.
And he can be Man of the Year any year. Anyway, in more serious discussion, continue.
Well, I've got it down to like a two-man horse race between Adrian Peterson and Ray Rice. I think both those guys are
that kind of players. That kind of Man of the Year. I understand.
Now, I need your prowess here as a martial artist. Now, Peterson hospitalized someone this year, but Ray Rice knocked a full-grown human being out.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This is so distasteful that I can't even I can't even try to process.
Yeah.
The terrible things that those men have done.
I know. Lest anyone listening to this not realize it already, this is a joke. And probably a bad one on my part, but the official party line is both those guys can go straight to hell. I think that's all needs to be said. But no, in seriousness, two come to mind, one of which is an athlete. Going back to July, Tim Howard, Team USA's goalkeeper, kind of owned the internet for about 72 hours.
Oh, there. Man. Yeah, that guy.
After that Belgium game.
Yeah.
And Chris Pratt kind of had a breakout year between the movie and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Those are pretty good picks.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know who to put in pole position there, though.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of lasting power, Chris Pratt, of course, because he's just on screens all the time, is gonna could take it. But, I mean, Tim Howard has had his time, and the World Cup was a huge event. It's just, you know, that kind of player in soccer isn't going to, like, you know, be around on TV till all the way through December. But that dude was just a beast.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of the effort, I think Tim Howard wins.
I still remember hashtag things Tim Howard could save.
Yeah.
That was an incredible meme.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That I kind of maybe call it a tie. And Chris Pratt's going to have a bang up year in 2015 as well. I mean, you know,
it kind of looks that way.
He's in Jurassic World, and he's really starting to build up his kind of action hero cred. And I think that expands. He can do comedy. He can do this action stuff. He can do a blend of the two, of course, like Guardians of the Galaxy. And I think that's going to do, you know, gangbusters for his career. And just you know, he's going to get bigger and bigger, which is great.
Yeah. We haven't had that guy in a while either.
Yeah, that's true.
Who can do comedy and action? At least not that's coming to the top of my head anyway.
Yeah, not in his style for sure. Where
although,
he's got kind
if
of
this American Sniper film coming out is any good, Bradley Cooper might be able to make that claim.
Maybe. Although I kind of find Bradley Cooper to be he's one or the other depending on the role that he's in.
Yeah,
and not both at the same time the way Chris Pratt can be.
Yeah.
But good on. All those people. Bradley Cooper did an amazing job as Rocket Raccoon this year, you know, back on Guardians in Guardians as well.
That
was a hell of a role, if you ask me, because that was really hard to pull off. And a lot of people were talking a lot of shit about how they didn't think he was going to be a good fit for that role because they have some vision of Rocket being, you know, Scottish or Welsh or God knows what. And it worked out great, I think. Bradley Cooper was fantastic.
I want to meet this person that had the Scottish for space raccoon. Who is this human?
Dude, there are people – you should have – like that's why you don't read the comments. You can't read the comments on the internet because people were losing their goddamn minds expecting him to be some sort of, you know, Scottish-sounding dude or with some accent. And it was like, nah, just – it's fine. Bradley Cooper is fantastic. He's just – he's the character now. Just deal with it.
But to be fair, Cooper gave him an accent.
Yeah, he does, but it's sort of like a Jersey accent or a Brooklyn accent. I don't know, something like that. Not, not you know, like just the way your mother likes it, you know, kind of.
I never really thought about it, honestly, until the film. Like, what did that guy sound like? I didn't have anything in my head, I guess, when I was reading.
Yeah. I mean, occasionally some writers will kind of add an accent a little bit to him, but I don't know, it was always kind of just fluid to me, and I'm fine with the choice, of course. But, man, people, you know, as usual on the internet, people have very strong opinions.
For things that don't deserve them.
Yes. Yeah. And they should be, happy with what they got, because I think it was, as we've discussed many times, the product was quite successful.
You went a different way with that sentence. I thought they should be executed summarily. That's where I thought you were going with that.
I'm trying to be more, compassionate and understanding.
That sounds like a resolution.
Well, I'm not – I think I was talking to another friend of ours and, I'm not the New Year's resolution kind of person. I try to I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase Kaizen. It's the theory of continuous improvement. It's kind of more involved in that, but that's kind of the basic breakdown. I'm more of a just, if you want to change, start changing right away. Why wait for January 1st? And, as a martial arts instructor, it's always funny to see the droves of people that show up in the first week of January, and then they disappear after the month is over. It's kind of funny.
They last a month.
Sometimes no, they just last the first day.
God. Yeah, I think the version of that I see is Monday is gym day.
Uh huh. So just like, so the people that regularly go to the gym, like, don't go because it's super crowded, maybe? I don't know.
No, those people always go.
Uh-huh.
They just have to wait for people like that are out of shape and
all right,
not going to be there 24 hours later.
Yeah. It's, it'd be nice to find some way of encouraging those people to continue, but it doesn't usually happen. They'll flame out at some point.
Yeah.
Some percentage of them. Anyway, some people, they're successful and they keep it going or whatever. But anyway, my personal stuff is like, if I want to do something, I'm just gonna go start working on it now. Why wait?
Would you say carpe diem is a kind of the model here?
I don't know. maybe I'm not so outgoing as that, but sure. Seize the day. Seize the.
No, I mean, I'm only saying that half jokingly. I think that's a good motto.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we picked nothing there.
We gave him a tie. We acknowledged all the people and all that. What's the next one?
Ties drive me crazy, but all right. Just talking it out helps. All right. Woman of the Year. And I got nothing for this.
Nothing? Huh. Man.
Well, okay, that's not true. Nothing I love. All right.
I mean, Beyonce just tears it up all the time. She's done all kinds of stuff this year.
Did she do the Super Bowl?
I don't know. Maybe she did.
Or was it Bruno Mars this year?
No, Bruno Mars was last year, I think. No.
It was 2 years ago because Beyonce blew out the Superdome.
Yeah, 2013 was the February.
We brought the Fortnite back.
Two seasons ago, but yes, February 2013, that was her Super Bowl stint. I'm trying to look up the dates to make sure I didn't like do what I usually do, which is assume an album came out this year that actually came out last year.
We're coming to that. That's a bitch. I do that all the time.
But I'm pretty sure she was on tour for quite a bit this year, and she just she performed at various shows, and she really just she continues her fulfilling the role of the she's just an American icon, and I think even if a lot of her accomplishments didn't occur in calendar 2014. She does deserve constant mention for that because she's pretty amazing on that front.
She's maintained incredible relevance. Yeah, I think that's fair. Okay, so that's one. I kind of love Emily Brett Rickard.
Oh man, so Felicity Smoke is one of the best things, if not the best character on Arrow. I think.
Yeah.
I've said that. I told someone that a couple of weeks ago. Definitely one of the best characters on Arrow in terms of what she can do. She's funny. She's smart. She's changed. She's grown as a character in the show. And the writers definitely enjoy clearly writing her dialogue and putting her in interesting situations. I think she's great.
Yeah. I also love that she's the she's far and away the most popular female character in that show. There's something really awesome about that.
Yeah.
In a show that, you know, had two black canaries, or will have a second one, I guess, shortly, coming up in 2015. But no shortage of badasses in that show. And she still kind of steals the show. You know, sometimes I get the feeling that she's a better actress than we even realize.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
I because they'll do one of those emotional flitzy scenes, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
And they're awkward, but I don't think it's her. I think the scene is bad. I think the writing doesn't hold up.
Well, and like I think she's like her as a character, Felicity. She's got a lot of emotion, and it shows on her face. And I think Stephen Amell's character, Oliver, he's not the same kind of character. He's very reserved, and so they kind of don't bounce off each other very well. I don't think, like, he's not saying much except like in little twitches on his face, and his words are very direct. And then Felicity's kind of a little more all over the place, and it doesn't seem to click sometimes. And maybe you're right. Maybe the dialogue doesn't help either. But
you're right. The character dynamic is part of it, though, because she has breakdown scenes a lot with Ollie, as does Katie Cassidy's character.
Uh-huh.
But the dynamic is different.
Yeah.
Ollie puts Laurel together. Felicity is usually admonishing Ollie for something he's doing wrong.
Yeah, and she's a perfectly formed human being who has her own opinion about what's going on.
Yeah.
And she's just reacting, as opposed to Laurel having some sort of, you know, weird thing going on where they have to, like, I don't know, co-depend or something. It's hard to explain. And those characters, I'm glad they finally put Laurel back on to doing something interesting. I think I've mentioned many times, I think they made a mistake on that in season 2 because I didn't enjoy what she went through there. So I'm glad that the Black Canary thing's finally happening. So maybe she'll like change and be more fully formed as a character as well. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That's obviously coming, listening to the showrunner, rather. But I don't know if Cassidy is up to it. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, we'll see, I guess.
Yeah. They're going to give her every chance to shine, but I'm also worried they're going to give her, just hand her that noose to hang herself. that's an unfortunately possible scenario as well.
Yeah. So I've got an idea also for a Woman of the Year. It's not a physical, actual woman. It's a female character. Oh. But I just watched the last 2 episodes ever of the show, and I think it deserves a lot of credit, and that character deserves a lot of credit. So Korra from The Legend of Korra animated series. The book 4 just ended today, and I watched the last 2 episodes. And that character is just phenomenal, and that show is phenomenal. And I think what they've done in season 4 in terms of portraying a female character, an action hero, who is a well-rounded individual who's gone through so much, especially in the last 2 seasons. If you're not watching Korra, you should, because I think – and that's to everyone who's listening, because I think that is one of the most amazing female characters that anyone's created in years. And I hope more people watch it and appreciate it for what it is, because now it's gone, and those writers have done amazing things in that show. So – I vote Korra as being one of the females of the year, because those last 2 episodes, man, holy cow, just amazing.
Could we give that award to the actual voice actress, or do you feel like that would be a disservice to what the whole team built there?
I think it's the whole team. I think it's the writing. I think it's what they tried to accomplish with that character, what situations, very challenging situations, they put her through. You know, just one example is getting over PTSD, which was not a overnight thing. It's not how they portray that at all. They didn't call it PTSD, but it's basically what she had. And as an action hero, seeing somebody go through that and understand that and go through the changes of that is quite remarkable. And it's the voice acting, it's the dialogue, it's the plot, it's everything together. And so I think the whole team deserves that credit to make Korra the fully formed character that she is. I'm telling you, you're not going to find something like that almost anywhere else, no matter how hard you try. It's an amazing show.
No, the sad thing is I feel like it's getting better, but They're just.
It is. I wouldn't say so.
Yet by a, miles and miles still to go yet.
Yeah.
Point,
and look, you know, we're two males, so there's that. I mean, I'm sure, you know,
I think America needs more opinions from 30-year-old white males. I think it's time.
So, you know, by far, absolutely, you know, take that for what it is in terms of what we're talking about here. But I think people should go watch Legend of Korra. It's phenomenal, especially season 3 and season 4. It doesn't take that long. Each episode is like 20 minutes, and there aren't that many episodes. In fact, all season 4 you can watch for free on nick.com. But it's well worth watching, and Korra's an amazing character. So I wanted to just add my voice to that.
Good to hear. Adrian Palicki, what do you think?
Oh, man. She, like, Mockingbird's
breakout
really...
Breakout year or no?
Breakout? I'm not sure. I mean, Mockingbird's a really cool character, and I'm glad that they brought her on as that in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But I haven't really seen Bobby Morse, the character, and Adrian Palicki, the actress, do much with the role yet. So I don't think she's really captured the zeitgeist enough to, like, deserve that. I mean, I really liked her in John Wick as well. I think she's...
I was about to say, she very small role, but she was really good in it.
Yeah, I really like almost everything that I've seen her in. And I think she's a pretty good actress, but I haven't seen... I didn't watch Friday Night Lights or anything like that, so I don't really know about her full range. I just don't have the information. But, you know, I think she's got loads of potential, and I hope more people bring her on to do cool stuff, because I think she's got a ton of charisma on screen, and she's probably really talented, and she seems really talented with what I've seen so far. Yeah.
Okay. Having not watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. yet, I was wondering.
Yeah, I mean, I think they did the right thing bringing in Mockingbird as in terms of just a creative decision.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a great character.
And she does a good job with it. It's just they're hiding a bunch of stuff for her, so the rest of the season hopefully reveals more about what Mockingbird's all about.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. Oh, this one's going to be tough.
All right.
We got Movie of the Year.
Movie of the Year, crap.
Initial gut reaction to that, to seeing that. Really disappointed this year by movies overall.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. Nothing knocked me on my ass. I enjoyed Interstellar quite a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know how much rewatch value it's got, though.
Yeah, I'm not really compelled to watch it again, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it, but I seem to recall it's about 7 to 8 hours long. And I'm not really, I mean, I'm not really eager to get right back into that.
Yeah, I mean... It was fascinating. I really enjoyed it. Like I really enjoyed my first viewing of it. And it was a journey, and it was worth watching. I'm just not compelled to watch it again. Compared to, and again, my nerdiness. Just, you know, I have no excuse.
I'll go ahead. I'm with you on this.
I've seen Captain America 2 probably 7 to 10 times this year. So. For me, just on pure viewings alone, that's probably my movie of the year.
Rewatch value is a big part of it, at least in my book. And yeah, it's a good movie, and I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I've watched that more than Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And it compels me more to watch it.
Great
than
story,
Guardians of the
Galaxy. Well acted. Action's great.
Yeah. They build the universe in a compelling way. They make changes in a compelling way, just top to bottom. It's the most fun I've had in the movie theater all year. I've enjoyed other films and really appreciated the work done on some other films this year. You know, I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast or not, but Fury I really liked. You know, John Wick I really liked. I had a lot of fun there.
Yeah.
The Raid 2 came out this year. That was fantastic, as well as an action movie, pure action movie. But Captain America 2 does it for me on a lot of different levels.
Yeah, it kind of had it all.
Right on.
And a lot of the single source genre stuff, to be fair, I just thought it was kind of lacking. Days of Future Past, it's okay.
Uh-huh.
But boy, it disappointed the hell out of me. I wanted it to be awesome.
Yeah, I rewatched that a few weeks back, and it just wasn't hitting the notes that a Marvel movie does for me now. And I think maybe Marvel's success is sort of diminishing some of these other things, because I would probably be way more excited about it if we haven't had the last, and it's been a long time now, you know, like seven or eight movies or whatever for Marvel.
Yeah. Well, you know, Sony is in full-blown chaos with Spider-Man too.
Yeah. And, you know, Amazing Spider-Man 2 wasn't that bad. I enjoyed that film, but it just doesn't compare.
That came out this year too, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I liked it. I've seen it multiple times. Okay. But Spider-Man is my favorite superhero. Has been forever, my entire life. But it's not as good as Cap 2. That movie doesn't capture me the way a Marvel film does either.
Yeah. Yeah, I none of the Spider-Man films have really knocked me on my ass yet. And I love that character too. Always have since I was little. And
yeah.
I'm disappointed to be saying that and admitting it, but still waiting for a truly great Spider-Man film, I think.
Yeah, and it's just, man, they're not. I don't see any steps really being taken to try the whole all those rumors about negotiating with Marvel and stuff. None of that has come through. I don't know. I just wish that they'd give it back to Marvel, because I bet Marvel could just do a great job.
No. God, if only.
Yeah, imagine Joss Whedon writing the script for that thing, because I love Joss Whedon's like little pieces of Spider-Man that he does in the comics, like in Astonishing X-Men and stuff. I mean, it'd just be just amazing.
Well, Cameron was attached to that thing years before the Sony acquisition.
James Cameron?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know, right? Just the what could have been there is staggering.
All the water. I don't know if I could deal with that.
All right, I know he's called Dr. Octopus, but he's not an actual octopus.
They're going to bring in Hydro Man. Hydro Man will be the villain.
Oh, there, shit, there's the obvious joke. Damn it.
Either way, that's a pretty lame villain.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, God, I almost think Winter Soldier wins this by default.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, that's just the movie I've enjoyed the most far away this year.
Okay. All right, next category, and this one's going to be a bitch, mostly because I can make an argument against a bunch of ones that I think kind of deserve it. TV show of the year.
TV show of the year. Oof.
Yeah. All right, let's break this one down. Mad Men was excellent as always.
Yeah, these are tough choices.
Game of Thrones, I liked, always do.
Yeah.
Felt the ending was rushed.
Yeah, it didn't have as compelling of a feel this time around. Although I really did enjoy plenty of episodes.
Yeah, they tried to cram a lot of story into that final episode, because I think they just kind of ran out of time.
Uh huh.
And unfortunately, it showed, and it's really unfortunate because a lot of really cool stuff happens at the end of the novel that they were adapting.
Uh huh.
And I really felt like it would have had more of an impact if they'd allowed it to breathe.
Gotcha.
But yeah, not bad. Just not quite as good as it usually is. Arrow was excellent. Good
season two was
. Season three, pretty good as well.
Yeah,
that mid-season finale, as we discussed, was a badass.
Yeah, the flashbacks. My little brother even was telling me this, and I agree with him. The flashbacks in season three haven't been as strong as the flashbacks for season two, for example, or even season one.
Yeah,
they just don't set things up in a really compelling way. But I think I'm starting to see a little bit of the payoff with the finale, because like the flashback people are starting to show up in the modern day and that kind of thing.
Right, right. I think there may have been a little bit of a long con going on there.
Yeah, yeah. They spent too long laying the groundwork for that, but maybe we'll see an improvement.
Yeah, yeah. So that's good.
The Flash?
The Flash was kind of my knee-jerk answer to this question, but why I'm reticent to go with The Flash is, outside of the actor who plays Harrison Wells, who I unfortunately can't think of his name right now.
It's like Tom something or other.
Okay. I really think the acting is pretty underwhelming in that show.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's a real shame, because it's just surprisingly excellent in every other thing you could want.
Well, the actor that plays Joe West, Jesse Martin, I think is his name. looking it up.
That sounds right. Yeah.
That guy is a phenomenal actor because he conveys so much emotion, and he injects emotion into the scenes that would otherwise, I think, be pretty stiff. Yeah, Jesse Martin is his name for sure.
Yeah.
Tom Cavanaugh is the guy that plays Harrison Wells.
Okay.
So he's
been brilliant.
Yeah, and I really appreciate Jesse Martin as well. But the other actors have not been stellar. I mean, very more comic booky. I think their acting and the dialogue maybe too is just feels more like a comic book, like straight out of the comic book.
There's definitely situations where that's not serving them well. But God, every time Iris opens her mouth, it's just, oh my God.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that the show has quote unquote an Iris problem because Iris doesn't have anything to do. Hopefully they solve that because
except blog.
Yeah, and that's not really doing anything, right? So
yeah,
I hope they figure that out. I mean, one thing that's really compelling about the show is that it's so bright and just DC, you know. And then there's like this dark streak in the background going on, and that keeps me coming back all the time. Like, you know, the plots are getting more interesting and the villains are getting more interesting, but also there's like this dark undercurrent of stuff that I really want to see play out.
You did remind me. The gentleman who played Captain Cold.
Wentworth Miller. Famous,
yeah, he was excellent.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, he's good in almost everything he does as long as he gets to play that kind of character because he's sort of the same. But
yeah,
he did a great job, and that's a really good villain that's going to come back, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that bodes well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's difficult to do a kind of an optimistic show like that, and I think there's no argument. They've done an excellent job with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always wondered, like, how The Flash has an audience. It's like a guy who runs fast, and, you know, they've spent 9 episodes showing me why that's awesome, and the possibilities and story ideas you can do with that, and I'm pretty impressed.
So, another show happened very early this year,
mm-hmm.
That I think deserves a lot of praise because it's brand new. True Detective.
Yeah. I've not seen it yet, but go on.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, a lot of people I think were a little overblown on the dude that the wrote Cthulhu stuff. The Lovecraftian elements of it. A lot of people were expecting more of that as time went on and it kind of died down. Because they were just using it as themes and things like that in the show, metaphors. But holy cow, great show, amazingly directed. Just keeps you coming back episode after episode, even though that both of the main characters are kind of extremely flawed, even more than Don Draper is in some ways. And just a fantastic show. Really, really, really well done. So that definitely deserves top marks this year. That may be show of the year for me just because it came out of almost nowhere. And, you know, just, you know, Matthew McConaughey was just amazing.
Yeah, I was about to say, does that make McConaughey a man of the year candidate between that and Interstellar?
You know, you're right. I don't know why that didn't occur to me earlier, but you're right. I think Matthew McConaughey deserves maybe the man of the year stamp because – he acted the living shit out of True Detective, and he was phenomenal in Interstellar as well. I think his emotion in Interstellar really carried the film.
His tan was beyond reproach.
Well, no. you know, his
dare I say he was damn near blackface. What was going on there?
Well, he's his farmer, right? He's outside.
They were all farmers.
Okay, fair enough.
Only he was the one farming on the sun.
Casey Affleck's character's anger kept him not tan or something. I don't know. But I think Matthew McConaughey was just he was really, really, really good. I know he got a lot of credit last year for Dallas Buyers Club and other films like that. But two amazing performances this year, I would say, for Matthew McConaughey.
He's on quite a run.
Yeah, yeah. He's cementing himself as a premier actor in the legacy of Hollywood for sure. So True Detective, I think I vote for series of the year.
Okay. All right. Well, now I got to watch that. Damn it.
It's only 8 episodes, so it's a quick, relatively quick.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. But it's so compelling. And it's the story is one and done. Next season, it'll be a completely new set of detectives, and completely unrelated set story. So it's like,
as a matter of fact, you know, I kind of want to give it like series of the year just on that alone. I think that's awesome.
And just
a beginning, a middle, and end. Wow, you genius.
yeah. And just you wait till you see some of the direction and the filming in this thing. Like, there's a single take, like, as there's like a police raid through this town. It's just amazing. Just holy cow.
Awesome. Okay. All right. All right. We got there.
We got it.
All right. I feel like we're forgetting like seven things.
Probably. And people are probably yelling into their
iPod. I don't watch the show either, but maybe you do. Apparently The Walking Dead's on a roll too.
That's what I hear, but I gave up on it in season three, so yeah. I haven't had a chance.
You're right. Keyshawn's the one that's still...
Yeah, I think he does.
Carrying that cross around. Okay.
Yeah. But people are saying good things. I mean, they finally brought the governor in, and you know, that's where things start to get interesting. Instead of them walking around the Atlanta countryside or the Georgia countryside for all season.
Everyone's still dead. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Next I have print comic of the year, followed by web comic of the year, and I don't know why I'm delineating those two. That's kind of dumb.
Yeah, maybe we should just slap them together. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Avengers should go toe to toe with, I don't know, Penny Arcade. I see no reason why not. Yeah, I'll be dropping that second category, I think. Okay.
I don't know. I think
this
Brute Hollow.
Got to be an Image comic, right?
Image comic, like Saga.
Saga's again? Good.
did we vote them in last time?
Last year I had Hawkeye.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
and my gut with this one is Sex Criminals.
Oh, I've actually never read it.
Two for Fraction. I actually bought some comics because I realized I hadn't read much of anything this year. I was like, you know what? I need to read the Buzz books, get caught up on this shit.
Uh-huh.
Only read the first issue. It is excellent, though.
Cool.
It's not just funny. It has like a story. It's well drawn by Zdarsky. Yeah, I can see why everybody's raving about it.
It's
good stuff.
It's a webcomic, but it does get printed and shipped. Like Brood Hollow, I think it's, I don't know if it's season or volume or whatever, part two. It's just amazing. Chris Straub's art alone is like drool worthy, and then the story has been really, really very interesting as he's kind of evolving the creeping sense of dread all along. I think he deserves some credit for that because Brood Hollow has been a fantastic read.
Yeah, I had him as a finalist last year.
Uh-huh.
He's been killing on that. There's no question.
Yeah.
I also bought East of West.
Okay, I've read volume one of that.
Okay, and you're a fan, I recall.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I definitely am looking to read some more. I just haven't had a chance.
Yeah. I'm a volume behind on Saga, but volumes 1-3 are amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean,
that's always, I mean, these ongoing things, it's hard to you know, leave room for someone else when something fantastic like that keeps on going.
I gave Pretty Deadly a flip through.
Haven't seen it. Haven't read it.
It's DeConnick's Western. It does look good.
All right.
I think it probably earns the accolades. Emma Rios drew the hell out of it.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I think that book is probably as good as everyone's saying it is. Bitch Planet just shipped last week.
I heard that. Yeah.
And I don't know. I love the premise. I haven't read that one yet either. But maybe a year from now in 2015, we're talking about that one. It would not shock me. Here's my question, though, that comes up from this conversation, though.
Uh huh.
Why do we not give two shits about anything the big two are bringing out right now?
Well, I don't know. I mean, so I decided to try to catch up on New Avengers, mm-hmm. Hickman's run on New Avengers.
Okay.
I'm almost there. I'm like two or three issues back. Really interesting stuff, I got to admit. I mean, it started in 2013, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not quite a 2014 comic in its entirety, but it spanned quite, you know, a lot of it spanned this year, many more issues this year than last year. And just seeing what the Illuminati has been up to is, as usual for Hickman, really interesting and involved and intricately plotted. But I had a hard time putting it down. I really enjoy it. I've been really enjoying New Avengers. Like all this other stuff's going on, you know, all these events. It flips from various artists.
Oh, I see. Is there even a main guy, or it's just constantly rotating?
I'm trying to look it up here. Man, I think Mike Diodato did the first few issues.
Oh, okay.
I'm drawing a blank on who the latest artist is. Unfortunately, I hate doing that because I want to give credit where credit is due. But
yeah.
But the art's been pretty good. You know, what's interesting to me is they keep changing the Black Panther's costume technology. Like sometimes he pulls his mask off his face, like if it were like a hood thing that he puts on. Sometimes it disappears, like a technologically enhanced mask that can be put on and off with a flick of a switch or something. It's kind of funny. And kind of jarring because you see in one issue it's one way and then the next issue is a different way. But the Black Panther is a big part of that plot. And just like it's a story about the way the Illuminati is dealing with something that's so major that all the other events going on around it, like Infinity and Axis and whatever else you can come up with, doesn't matter. There's something more important than that going on and only those dudes are dealing with it and no one else is sort of allowed to know about it, and it's like crushing them as people as they try to figure out a solution to something that doesn't seem to have a solution. And it's really interesting to see that, and that's kind of what New Avengers is all about.
Okay.
So I found that pretty compelling. I haven't read a lot about from the big two either. Because of the TV show, I really want to read more of The Flash. And I wouldn't necessarily say New Avengers is probably one of the best comics of the year. I wouldn't go that far. But it's pretty darn good.
Okay.
So, I mean, I recommend people read it, but, you know,
I have theories about the mountain that when I throw questions out at Ariel, just to give myself an excuse to talk, not everybody knows that. So that was a spoiler. But, I think you touched on one of them. I think the fact that this stuff is constantly out in other media, diminishes my hunger for it.
Yeah.
So as a result, now when I want a comic book, I want something new. I don't want Spider-Man again.
Yeah, because he's already somewhere else. Yeah.
I don't want Oliver Queen. That's not Stephen Amell with his shirt off.
Salmon Ladder delivers.
Oh my God, we got to come back to that for a second.
The Salmon Ladder should have its own comic.
I don't understand why they had to like ceremonially take their shirts off for that fight.
Oh, you know, because what the hell? Because they're manly men. I don't know.
The only thing I was shirts off. Why? It's tradition. All right.
The only thing I was thinking was like, dude, it's so freaking cold out there. What are you doing? taking your shirt off?
Yes, exactly.
They gotta
climb up this goddamn mountain.
They gotta see the wound. They gotta see the wound.
I just thought that. Obviously I know what they actually did it for. It was for the cheat. It was for the beefcake shot, rather.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was just. Oh, it cracked me up.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm so used to it now. 3 seasons now of this that yeah, it's fine. Yeah,
that's what he does.
It's okay. You know, women have had to see the opposite gender version of that for you know centuries. So whatever.
Yeah, well, they're catching up. Arrow alone is just covered in like abs.
I like how Felicity and whoever else she's like sitting with like comment on the ladder, the Salmon Ladder. And the stuff, like what's that for? And since Felice is like distracting me, it's like it's hilarious. I like how they've worked it into the dialogue.
Oh, it's very self-aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. I meant to bring that up, and it just came back to me. I was like, "What the hell was that about?" oh my god. Now we must ceremoniously oil our pecs. Really? What
you guys? No, you're thinking of the transporter. That's what
assassins
that
are weird. All right, I guess I'll do that. Are we going to fight to the death here at some point? All right, keep your pants on. Take them off.
Before we fight, we undress like men.
We're going to wrestle. What? All right. Bizarre. Okay. So there's that, and then I have a second theory, which I've forgotten. Because all I can think of are oiled man pecs. Good job.
The second theory about Arrow?
No, about why. Oh, event fatigue.
Oh, comics, yeah.
Which we didn't really leave, but I think that's a thing now. The main series just don't matter as much anymore.
Yeah.
Or at least it feels that way. Maybe that's not the case, but I don't know. I just Original Sin, Axis. What was the fucking time travel one before that that I'm forgetting?
Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I think DC's is called Cataclysm or something like that.
Oh God.
Oh, this is not a crisis.
In there? How is that possible?
It's not a crisis. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yet.
Yeah. They've been kind of underwhelming, I feel like. Well, not to go back to that particular horse, but
I mean, I liked Original Sin. I thought it was a good story, but yeah, I mean, it's not the kind of I'm not salivating over the events like I did back in the Secret Invasion days or Civil War. Like those, like I was just gobbling that stuff up. And that wasn't that long ago. And now, yeah, I'm less compelled. I'll check out maybe the first issue, and then if it seems pretty great, I'll keep reading it. But I'm not salivating over every issue or anything like that.
I think Secret Invasion was 2008.
Yeah, and Civil War was 06.
Yeah.
So, you know, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Secret Invasion is kind of the last one for me. Maybe Siege was the last one that I was like, oh, man.
I did read it, and I remember being disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it was all about dealing with the Sentry and like figuring out what to do with that character.
Yeah.
And just crippling.
Yeah, and I think that was kind of a bummer that that's what that ended up being.
Yeah. I mean,
they needed to address that, obviously, but.
Yeah, and that was their, back then, it was also like their first fascination with douchebags with the Dark Avengers and stuff like that, trying to like integrate villainy into the Marvel Universe in a bigger way and have that drive stories. And like honestly, they're sort of doing it again because we had Superior Spider-Man, where Spider-Man was Doc Ock was in Spider-Man's body, right? And now they're doing Superior Wolverine, where Sabretooth is Wolverine because Wolverine's dead. And they're doing Superior Iron Man, where they made Iron Man an asshole because of the Red Skull did something to him or something like that. So, you know, it's douchebag central again.
Yeah, I guess that's a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed Dark Avengers. Don't get me wrong; it was an interesting story, and they did a lot of interesting things. And Brian Michael Bendis was killing it back then. And I'm not saying he's not killing it now, but I mean, I
would argue that's one of their better titles are his two X-Men titles.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I think that's because they're newer casts.
Uh huh.
And I think it gets back to like I'm seeing these other things other places, so I just. I don't need that much Iron Man. Robert Downey Jr. is enough.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
And then Image is just offering up so much neat shit right now. And then, you know, uh-huh. DC is... I mean, Snyder and Capullo are killing it on Batman, but Batman's often good. Snyder and Lee did not kill it on Superman Unchained by way of comparison.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was very meh. I don't know how much of it you looked at, but...
None, actually. I never read it.
Yeah. Batgirl got people excited, but I don't know. I've not read it.
I mean, I haven't read it, but I do have to say, because I'm always an advocate of female superheroes finally wearing pants, that I really like her new costume. And on the same lines, just announced recently, and I think in an attempt to kind of...
All right, well, let's codify this. So we're pro topless males and pro bottom full females.
I am pro if the audiences want the topless males, fine. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm not saying we need more of it. I'm just saying if people want it, they can have it. But I think, you know, we can kind of move beyond the extremely unpractical costumes in comics and maybe just make them slightly more practical.
Yeah.
Not saying Spider-Man's costume is practical either, but come on, give some of these ladies some pants. They deserve it. They do a lot of work, you know?
It's true.
So, like, Spider-Girl's costume's cool, and just recently announced, I was going to say, is Spider-Woman on the Marvel side is getting a costume redesign, which I really like as well. I think that's super cool, and they're making it, you know, have more of a detective feel.
But as I said on Twitter, I'm going to miss the classic one.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not so much that the spandex part of it. I liked the color scheme a lot.
Yeah, the color scheme's really cool. I mean, yeah, it's sort of still there in the new one, but it's a little bit darker. Yeah, I can see that.
But there's a lot more blue. Well, there's blue at all. The first one was just red and yellow.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, yeah. I loved Captain Marvel. I love that one. And I like her old swimsuit one. I think that one's fun. I mean, it's completely impractical, and it's, you know, borderline sexist, but
yeah.
It was a cool version of that.
Yeah.
But I love the new one.
Yeah, the new one's great. And I even like the headgear thing that comes on occasionally in the issues. Yeah. Like, that's super cool stuff. So it'd be great to see that on screen, back to what you were saying in terms of these things being kind of everywhere now.
It's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Fullhawk is a little weird.
Let her have it. It's cool. It's more kind of edgy and military, you know, and
yeah.
That's
it's certainly right iconic.
On. Yeah.
You will definitely be able to pick her silhouette out. But
yeah, there could only room for one Mohawk character in the Marvel universe. Storm had it for a while, and now they're giving it to Captain Marvel.
Well, I thought they brought Mohawk Storm back.
They did for a while, didn't they? I don't know if she still has it or not.
Yeah.
In New Avengers, I think she doesn't have it briefly when she appears, but I'm not 100% sure.
They're going to have a Highlander-style throwdown for that.
There could be only one Hawk.
Yes.
Foe or otherwise.
Instead of beheading, they'd be hawk each other.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a verb.
Be hawk. And we have our episode title.
I suspect that may, in fact, come to pass. All right. Well, we came to no firm decision on that one. I think that's good.
That's suitable trend here, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's kind of what we do.
Categories.
Okay, this one, I've got damn near next to nothing for this one also. Music single of the year.
Oh, man.
I was going to go with The Walker by Fits and the Tantrums, and then discovered that it's a 2013 album.
my eternal problem. Bitch. I mean, you're not just going to give it to Taylor Swift like everybody else?
Put a pin in that. We're coming back to that. I got thoughts about Taylor Swift. Not bad ones, but very interesting. I've had some time to peruse that album since we last spoke.
Okay.
I do kind of love Take Me to Church by Hozier.
I've listened to that maybe one time, and I couldn't sit through the whole thing. Maybe I was in the wrong headspace for it.
No, that's fair. It's very different. Super evocative, which is a word I never use, unless I'm trying to get laid at a poetry reading. But it is very evocative. Like, it's definitely got a real gothic sound to it in both lyrics and, you know, just the pure tone of it. And I enjoy the hell out of it, but that's all I had. Could not think of anything else that's not from 2012 I'm listening to. Mm. Or 2013 in the case of Fits and the Tantrums.
Yeah, I was looking through some Billboard stuff recently. There are other tracks like this band Magic has a song called Rude that I find that enjoyable. I wouldn't say it's like amazing or anything, but it's a catchy song. It's from 2014.
Okay.
There's a lot of Taylor Swift out there. I enjoy her stuff. I'm not sure what you're gonna unload on, but getting a lot of credit that gal this year for her work.
Well, let's just press on to album of the year then.
Of the year. I see.
I think 1989. Okay, well, it's the best selling album in 12 years, which I think is fascinating because it is an unapologetic throwback album. It is an 80s pop album. And it's a good one. Shake It Off, or I think that's what it's called, Shake It Off?
Shake It Off, yeah.
I don't know why I can't remember. That's the only damn line in the song. That single's terrible, and it turned me off on it, but the album overall is really good.
Okay.
I mean, if you're we're late Gen Xers, so an 80s pop album is going to be welcome. I would think if that was ever your thing. There's a nostalgia there, if nothing else. And, you know, she did a really good job with it. She's legitimately talented. I mean, I know she has, you know, like any of those pop stars now has an army of people behind her.
Well, I think she still writes a lot of her own songs, doesn't she? Which is pretty rare.
This album, not so much.
Okay.
She had a lot of people working with her.
Okay.
But, she still has to be the front woman for, you know, what I would say, just basically just a bigger band.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's not a, that's, you know, you have to have the look, quote unquote. You have to be able to sing. You have to be able to be involved in the writing process.
Mm-hmm.
We ask a lot of our pop stars here in America. And,
yeah,
you know, she hasn't fallen flat yet.
Yeah, she's been very successful and gotten, yeah, more success over time. So I think, to her credit, you know,
yeah,
and her talent.
I think it's an interesting career choice to do a pure nostalgia album like that. And I wonder if that was part of the, was almost marketing strategy. Because, you know, she herself is a millennial. And,
uh-huh,
you know, the collapse of the record industry here in the States.
Hi guys, Cyrus again here. As you can probably surmise by the fade out as well as the post edit here, we did lose a little bit of the episode due to, I think, just low memory. My apologies for that, for having to cut out there in mid-conversation. Errol and I did talk a little bit about Taylor Swift's 1989 album, as well as Awesome Mix Volume 1, The Guardians of the Galaxy movie soundtrack, before closing out with a little bit on the 2014 video game slate and looking ahead at 2015, mostly the movies that are coming out that year. As we allude to in the podcast, this episode basically serves as a preamble to a written piece that I will be working on, and if you're interested, please feel free to check that out at my blog, riseagainproductions.tumblr.com. That should be dropping shortly before the end of the year. Before we go, do want to give a quick shout-out to Ariel. Thank you for being here. As always, his clarity of thought was very appreciated. And I did want to point you guys, as always, to his other podcast, Kung Fu Conversations. It's always a great listen. I think they're closing in. I think they just passed episode 75, as a matter of fact. Thank you for listening. This episode can be, as well as previous episodes, can be found at fullofsoundandtheory.com and or via iTunes. This has been a Rise Again production, copyright 2014.